or someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
All right, let's share for a few minutes from God's word. Will you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3 as we begin this morning a new series of teachings on financial success. With the global economic recession, many people are confused about what to do about their finances, and we just want to say, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to the basics. Circumstances may change, but principles never change. That's why Isaiah 40 verse 8 says that the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. If you don't have a good grasp of the basics, you're likely to be the worst hit by the recession. Okay? This is going to be an exciting series for us. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. If you're there, let's go. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let's title this first discussion this morning, Real Money. Real Money. Let me to tell the person sitting next to you, you are about to get real money. I'm sure somebody's happy about that, right? Let's start with this 20 pound note. This is the UK currency. A 20 pound note. I like to read a lot. I like to read instructions, read everything around me that I can find. So one of those days, some years back, I decided to read everything on the UK currency. Now, on this side of the currency where you have the face of the Queen is written Bank of England. I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £20. It's signed by the chief cashier on behalf of the governor and company of the Bank of England. So the first time I read it, I was confused. The chief cashier said, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £20. And I thought, you don't need to pay me anything. I have the £20 already. Why am I not holding £20? The chief cashier says, no. This is not the real £20. But if you present this, then we can give you the real thing. That's interesting. So, I want to plead with you as we begin this series to please keep your mind open. Please. We're going to fight a lot of mind battles as we go through this series. But you bear in mind that we live in a country where poverty has become part of our culture. It's part of our way of life. The average person born in this country does not need to go to a school to learn how to be poor. Am I right? All the person needs to do is to grow up in this country. Okay? It's in the culture. It's in our language. It's in our proverbs. It's in our way of life. Poverty, part and parcel of our way of life. Okay? So, as God helps us to restructure our thinking, we will experience freedom. Remember what Jesus said? You know the truth. The truth will make you free. Very important. Secondly, please also bear in mind, I grew up in this country. I tasted poverty. Sorry, why do I use taste? My experience was more than tasting. I ate it. I drank it. I was married to it. Thank God now we are divorced, all right? That is permitted. I came into this city with just a traveling bag hung on my shoulder several years ago. My first salary in this city was 600 naira a month. At the current exchange rate, that's $4 a month. If I talk about financial success or wealth creation, I should know what I'm talking about, isn't it? Because things have changed. I want to ask you to please keep your mind open. Okay? Naaman went to Elisha, the prophet, to be healed of leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5. And see, Elisha didn't even come out of the house, just sent a message to the man, go wash at the pool of Siloam. He said, go wash at River Jordan 7 times. You'll be healed. And the Bible says that Naaman was angry. He was furious. He said, I thought the man would come out. Look up to heaven. Call upon God and strike the place and heal the leper. He was furious. Until somebody said to him, sir, if he had told you to do a simpler thing, wouldn't you have done it? See, if I was there, I would have said to him, General Naaman, calm down. It's not the prophet that has leprosy. It's you. You are insisting that you know how the leprosy should be cured. If you knew how to cure the leprosy, why did you come here? Okay? So sometimes we don't realize it because of preconceived ideas, because of prejudice, because of our bias, because of tradition. We hold on to ideas that frustrate our aspirations. Please keep your minds open. Real money is not paper. You don't see real money with your eyes. There was a time when people traded without money. They did trade by barter. If you grew tomatoes on your farm and I grew potatoes on my farm, we met at the market and we exchanged them. We determined their relative values, which were determined by the amount of effort that went into cultivating them and what it would take to replace them. Okay? Scarcity or the demand for them. So I brought my tomatoes, I brought my potatoes, you brought your tomatoes, and we exchanged them. You went home with potatoes, I went home with tomatoes. That's how transactions were carried out. You wanted to pay the bricklayer for building your house. You gave him potatoes or cassava or yam tubers. But of course, with time, people realized it was difficult to carry out transactions like that. How do you pay for everything with yam tubers or with potatoes? You want to pay your landlord at the end of the month, you take potatoes or yam tubers. You want to pay your children's school fees, you take potatoes to the school. You want to get on a bus, you take yam tubers. You give yam tubers to the driver or the conductor. It was cumbersome, it was not easy. In fact, sometimes you came to the market with potatoes and the other person who came with tomatoes didn't need your potatoes because he also grew potatoes on his farm. So what do we do? So to make transactions easy, people invented money. Gold coins, silver coins, copper coins, cowrie shells, to represent the value of the potatoes at home. So if somebody had 10 gold coins, it meant that he had produced something that had that value. And you could do business with the person. Anyway, so somebody, the person who sells Potatoes, therefore, takes those gold coins or copper coins or cowrie shells and can take them wherever he likes. He can use them to pay school fees for his children. He can use them to pay the fashion designer for selling clothes to him. He can use them to pay for bath soap or whatever. Money makes transactions easier. Good. Now, the real issue is this. Therefore, that the real money, therefore, is not the paper, it is value. And you cannot see value with your eyes. So the paper and the coin represent value. I think it would make sense if we conclude that whoever came to the market then with nothing, no tomatoes, no potatoes, no clothes, no shoes, nothing, no rice, no beans, nothing, will not go home with any gold coins. Does that make sense? You didn't come to the market with any products. Nobody would give you coins in exchange because you had nothing to exchange with. Keep this also at the back of your mind. Money, I mean the paper one now and the coins, is only a means of exchange. Money is only a means of exchange. If you want to break free from poverty, keep this at the back of your mind. You will not get something for nothing. I know we can pray. I know we can bind the devil. We can crush his head. I know we can destroy all our enemies and put them inside coffins and bury them spiritually. But listen to me. When it comes to the issue of money, except you bring something that has value, something that has worth, something that is usable, that will meet a need in somebody's life, except you bring something like that to the marketplace or the place of exchange, you will not get money. You may get a lot of anointing. You may get a lot of money in the realm of the spirit. God may bless you with Mercedes Benz in the spirit realm, but you see, in this natural world, there won't be money. It makes sense, doesn't it? Real money is value, and you cannot see value with your eyes. Several years ago, when our church was very young, I realized I really wanted to help our church members. We weren't many then, financially. But I discovered that all that I said about finances was give. That was all that I was teaching, give. So one day, I looked at our church members and thought to myself, Mister, these people don't have the money. They can't give what they don't have. So I prayed. I said, Lord, is there anything in the Bible that can teach us how to get the money? I would rather teach first to church members how to get the money, and when they get it, then I can ask them to give it. As things are now, they don't have money. I don't have money either. We know how to get it. Okay? And then the Holy Spirit took me on a journey. Then began a journey for me that has been life-changing. Powerful insights from the Bible. One of the things I saw from the Bible, for example, is the need for people to start and run businesses. Entrepreneurial. I'm a crusader for entrepreneurial. In fact, the insights I got on entrepreneurial, mind-blowing, powerful. I mean, when God helped me to pull off my religious goggles and I saw that Abraham was an entrepreneur, Isaac was an entrepreneur, Jacob was an entrepreneur, I said, oh my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a God of businessmen and women. It's the God of entrepreneurs.
You know, if you don't think deeply, you will think Abraham was a priest in the temple. Abraham, the father of faith, he was a businessman. Maybe the one that blew my mind the most was the fact that Jesus was a businessman most of his life. I know I just said something that sounds like blasphemy. The Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. Well, we'll talk about that some other day. My emphasis for today, as I began to teach church members to start and run businesses, then some of them began to say to me, well, the problem is capital. Where do we get capital? We don't have capital. So I decided to crack the capital issue from the Bible. And when I want to crack something, I always start from Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the two perfect chapters of the Bible. See, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, there was no devil. No demons, no sin. Perfect. Perfect world. From Genesis chapter 3, the devil shows up. For the rest of the Bible, the devil is involved. And you have God's attempt to take man back to Genesis 1 and 2. So I went to Genesis 1. I was looking for capital. The question on my mind, how much did God have when he created the world? When he wanted to create the world? I read through Genesis 1. Read through Genesis chapter 2. Was money mentioned there? No. So I said, if not having money is what makes a person poor, then in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, God was broke. But we all know he wasn't, because he created the whole world anyway. So that led me to a very powerful conclusion. It is not the absence of money that makes a person poor. I'll say that again. It is not the absence of money that makes a person poor. I'll say it again, because the battle has begun. Because somebody say, Pastor, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? I walked on my feet to church this morning. No breakfast. I don't even know what I'm going to have for dinner. I don't even have anything to give for offering. Redefine poverty if that's not poverty. Tell me what poverty is. Tell me what it means to be poor. Please write it clearly. That's where we're starting from. Write it bold. Write it somewhere. Write, please, through this series, you got to have your pen and paper. Write it. When you get home, write it on the mirror in your bathroom so you can see it every day when you look at yourself. It is not the absence of money that makes a person poor. It is the absence of value. So, what were the resources that God used to create our world? That's what we get from Hebrews 11 and verse 3, which we read. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Let's read the second part together. It's there on the screen. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's interesting. Let's paraphrase it. The raw materials with which God created this material world were invisible raw materials. The most powerful containers of value are invisible. The most powerful containers of value in our world are invisible. So what did God use? It's then the first part of the verse. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. You read Genesis 1 again. And God said. And God said. And God, can you see words? Oh. But they have value. Words come from our thoughts. Thoughts. Ideas. Plans. Strategies. The earth was without form and void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. In the natural, what you had was darkness. What did God say? Light. Because in his mind, he saw light. Not only that, he saw plants, animals, oceans, rivers, mountains. That is where value, that is where real creation, wealth creation begins from. Thoughts. Thoughts have value. Thoughts are powerful. Look around you in this room. Everything that has value, from the camera, to the microphone, to the speaker, to the light bulbs, to the chair you're sitting on, if you move outside to the vehicle that brought you here, the water faucet from which you got water to have your bath today, the design of the clothes you have on, there is nothing that has value that man has created that did not begin as a thought or idea in somebody's mind. Am I right? The basic raw material, basic resource for creating anything is thought. So that the things that are seen were not made from things that are visible. So truly wealthy people know that real wealth is intangible. And that when they get the intangible one, ultimately they will get the tangible one. This is where Africa has a big problem. Our definition of wealth is material. It's material acquisition. So, in Africa, the only way we know you're a rich man is by the kind of car that you drive. How will we know that your money has arrived? Like we say it, if you don't drive a Hummer. How will we know if you don't build a big house? How will we know that your breakthrough has arrived if you don't put on power suits and shoes? And if you don't throw the biggest party in town, how will we know? And then, oh my God, look, at the party, look, even the CBN made a law that we should not spray anymore. It seems as if they are wasting their time because Nigerians have made up their mind. What are you talking about? How will they know that your money has arrived if you don't spray? Just change your money into crisp new 20 naira notes or 50 naira notes and just, in fact, take whole packets and throw them on people, on the musicians, you understand? Ah, when people see that, they say, hey, the man get money. Listen to me. Once you believe that wealth, real wealth, is material, you are a sucker for the devil. You have opened yourself up to deception at the highest level. The devil walks up to Eve in Genesis 3. What did God say to you? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, the Bible says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, rule over it. He said, subdue it, rule over it, and have dominion. Before he created man, he said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. The same word that God spoke to the soil, and the plants came out, the animals came out. Okay, the oceans were created, was the same word that God gave Adam and Eve to establish their wealth. He gave them the word, the revelation, as a resource to start with. That was what made them wealthy. Satan showed up and said, look, Eve, how will we know you are wealthy when you have nothing? We have to use something that is tangible. Something you can touch and feel. See that fruit? That's why it's important. God told you not to eat it because he knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open, you will become like God. You'll be powerful. It was a deception. They were wealthy already. You will become like God. Who were they? Who were they like? God said, let us make man in our own image. One of the greatest lies the devil can sell to you is to make you believe that you are poor. Once you swallow it, you are hooked, sir. You are in Satan's net. And the rest of your time in life is struggling to get out of the net. So Jesus came. Interestingly, after they ate the fruit, then God now drove them out of the garden. And poverty now started. Jesus came. At the river Jordan, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, God spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Satan shows up and says, Jesus, look, this God said is not enough. There's no way for us to prove that you are powerful or wealthy. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Again, the same temptation. We need to define this, your power or wealth, by the material. Turn this stone into bread. Something that is sellable, useful, that has material value. What did Jesus say? Listen, did he have the power to do it? Yes. What did he say? He said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. Not by the material, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I'm not going to define my wealth by the material. I'm defining my wealth by the intangible. Did I hear you say amen? So, that's it. That's it. That's it. What's your definition of wealth? Once you believe it's material, you will do anything to get it. Did you hear what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 31 to 33? Don't worry about your life. What to eat, what to drink, what to put on. Material. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The intangible, isn't it? What did he say? And all these things shall be what? Once you define wealth by the material, you are likely to steal. You become, any time you don't have cash, your sense of security will be threatened. You feel poor. You believe you're poor. That's the foundation for the corruption in this country. Listen, if you don't have real value, the intangible one, and you steal 16 billion naira, you are still poor. Somebody needs to hear that in this country. The person is wretched. And when you read the Bible very well, you realize if you go down that route like it happened for Adam and Eve, you attract a curse that will eventually wipe out all that material thing that you got. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Real wealth is coming now. I said real wealth is coming to Africa now. I don't have time today. If you show up on Wednesday, I will dig it. I've just done the first three lines of my note. On Wednesday, I will dig it. And then you will understand why I tell people that I can never be poor again the rest of my life. And it has nothing to do with the money in my account. It has to do with the resources available to me. And the fact that I know that John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. The invisible became visible. The immaterial became... So I know once I get it spiritually, it's just a matter of time. It will attract or produce its material equivalent in my life. I can never be poor again the rest of my life. So if somebody steals the material one, he's wasting his time. What I use to produce the one you stole, I will use it to produce another one. You may steal the physical one, you cannot steal the spiritual one. Did I hear you say amen to that? Every young person in this nation who's involved in fraud or scam is wasting his or her destiny. There's no point taking cocaine, smuggling cocaine out of this country. It's a complete waste of time. We have discovered the real thing. Stay with us. I'll be back on Wednesday. I'd like to pray quickly for the person in this service who would say, Pastor, please pray with me. My lifestyle is not right with God. I say this to everyone in this country. Don't let this country destroy you. Don't let the popular thinking patterns around town deceive you. What you think is the truth may not be the truth. And someone may say, okay, the problem I have is I'm not close to God. God wants to bless you. This is not about religion. This is about living life the way God designed it to be. I'd like to pray with you. I made this decision many years ago. And today, you can do the same and experience change. We were all born sinners. But Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. All we have to do is to ask for forgiveness. When He forgives us, the Spirit of God destroys the nature of sin from our hearts and puts the nature of God there. If you're that honest person who wants us to pray together for forgiveness of sins, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are and let's pray together. It's going to be a short prayer, just about a minute, but your life will never remain the same. You didn't come to this service by accident today. It was God who brought you. Pastor, pray with me that God should forgive me my sins. Can you please put your hand on your heart? Somebody says, I've said this prayer before, I've been a Christian before, but I have backslidden into sin. If Jesus Christ comes right now, I am not absolutely certain I will make it into heaven. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. Can you also please put your hand on your heart? God bless you for your integrity. It's your decision that determines your destiny. This doesn't have to do with your friends. It's about you. If you die and show up before God, you will account for your own life. If you know you should be part of this prayer, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? And if your hand is on your heart, can you please stand by your chair where you are? Let's pray together very quickly. God bless you. Can you please stand? Can you please stand? God bless you, my brother. God bless you, sir. People who make a headway in life make up their minds quickly. People who don't make up their minds usually don't make a headway. Can you make up your mind? If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins on the cross. And I ask that you forgive me and accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. As we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit should touch our brothers and sisters who are standing. And we thank you for the miracle of transformation in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.